You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend. Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast for the week ending February 12th, folks. That's right. It's episode 214, and I am joined, as usual, by the man, the myth, the legend, the Las Vegas superstar, Kenny Smyers. Kenny, man, welcome back and welcome to the show.
Thank you much, very much, Eric. I tell you, the time's flying by. Like we're on this jet plane that's landing here to my left. Because this is still the buzz and still, just central in my thoughts and mind is this 2016 Control Trends Awards. You know, again, for the thousandth time, thank you to everybody that made it possible. And we're excited to talk about the highlights, the category winners, some of the exceptional developments that have occurred. The Control Trends Woman of the Year, I was extraordinary, the standing ovation. I don't think I've ever been more excited about controls in the HVAC world than being part of that moment, because it was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Well, it really was, Kenny. And I tell you what, we've got so many just awesome, awesome, awesome women in our industry. And I tell you what, just so our viewers out there know, this is what people were trying to win in Vegas. One of the famed Control Trends trophies, which I think, by the way, are really cool looking, Kenny. They're like the best. And we gave a lot of them out again this year, deservedly so. And the category you're talking about, Kenny, is the Woman of the Year. And speak a little bit about that, sort of our sort of vision for that. I mean, it started with the young gun. So if you would sort of set the stage for people, you know, why are we honoring young people and why did we focus on women this year?
Well, it's twofold. One is that they've been the unsung champions and have worked extraordinarily hard, like everybody in the business. It's just, I think it's a society cultural thing where we're still unbundling what women do in our society in terms of the actual business and executive positions they hold, the engineering prowess they bring to the table, and then just how they complement everything we're trying to do, and then. The second part of that answer would be that I think we're going to be looking at more and more of the career positions that we need, the critical positions. If we had to evaluate and put a hierarchy on critical positions like they do with most careers, you have people that are the real strong math science people, and we need more women there. We need more people in the channel that markets and sells and supports. And then we need technicians. We need female technicians to be able to come out and fill the holes in the lineup that we're going to see happening in a critical state in the year 2022, as we reported with Renee Joseph's extraordinary, or the Johnson Controls white paper on the status of our industry. It's just an amazing industry. It's one of the fastest growing industries in North America, and yet paradoxically, it has not. We're starving with people, starving for good people.
Well, yeah. Let's back it up here, Kenny, because I tell you what, I hate to burst some people's bubbles, but guess what? First computer programmer was a woman, Ada Lovelace. She was Lord Byron's daughter. Was an absolute genius. It was left up to us. Computers would all be mechanical cogs, because all the men were trying to do it with mechanical cogs. They were trying to do it with plugging stuff in and relays. And Ada Lovelace came along and went, I tell you what, there's a better way. Let's do software. So she figured software out, one of the all-time great software programmers that really developed software is Grace Hopper. She was in the military, World War II. She was the one who began to create computer software programs as well. So really and truly, if you look at it, dude, we're kind of second class citizens when it comes to the software, because without the women, we'd still be, toting relays around. So it's good stuff there. And I think we're trying, like you said, we're trying to attract people into the industry. So therefore, we also have the Young Guns Awards, which is we're trying to honor younger people that are in our industry. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But, Kenny, the overall effect of the Control Trends Awards is really and truly as an industry, we think that we're sort of under-glamorized. And given the fact that I'm a game show host trapped inside of a controls guy's body, I think it's up to me and you. We've created the Control Trends Awards as a way that we can sort of have our Hollywood moment, if you you would speak. So, I mean, if you look at the videos that we have from the 2016 Control Trends Awards, or really any of our award show, you'll see that our aim is to really shine the spotlight on the people that deserve it, the great men and women and younger folks in our industry.
You know, just circling back again, the movie Hidden Figures is a really good movie. I tell you, you leave there feeling, enlightened and happy that we had fantastic people on our side when they did that big space race. You know, when the Sputnik program took a significant lead over the American NASA program, the Hidden Figures movie, reveals who the think tank was, and you'd be surprised to know there was a team of black women that were called computers. You know, they were called, you know, it was their nickname for the department because they didn't have a name for what they were doing. And so they turn out to be the champions and the heroes of the movie. And it's just a really good feeling movie. When you leave there, you feel just inspired. And again, so at the Young Guns, shifting gears back to the Young Guns, we have, I think really and truly teamed up with the right people. We've got, Ken St. Clair was all over the Young Guns program. We have the women in HVCR also have a young person award program. BACnet International had a rising star program. So when we team all these up and we start, sharing social media resources and whatever, we're going out to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that's the kind of emphasis we need. In order for us to achieve industry parity with the bankers, lawyers, marketeers, pilots, whoever, HVAC technicians and HVAC professionals should get more recognition for just extraordinary works they do on a day-to-day basis and so taken for granted. Now, we could beat this horse again to death, but I just, again, we're excited because the response was, we had thousands of people indicating this is a great idea. They're getting behind it. They're telling us what they're doing in their organizations. And that's the kind of lively transactions we need to get something done.
Well, I agree, Kenny. And let me ask you a question, buddy. So we're sort of a week and a half away from the Control Trends Awards, almost 2 weeks, I guess. I guess it is 2 weeks from the Control Trends Awards, and as you know, for me and you, it is it's a labor of love, but nonetheless a labor. I mean, it is. I'm just now sort of able to decompress enough to really sort of begin to look back at the awards and sort of assess it. So, what's your take on it? I mean, what do you think about the awards this year?
Well, we do things with statistics and trends. Okay, so what we did was we were crossing off some of the bucket list. We captured the trends that were the top 2016, whether it was disruption or disruptive technologies, innovations, whether it was cybersecurity, whether it was graphics and data, analytics, IoT. So we definitely got the right trends there, because statistically, it was the largest show we've ever had. It was a sellout. We actually had to set more tables up. We had, I think it made sense to the vendors and our sponsors. You know, that's the place to be on Sunday night. And we had an incredible crossfeed of end users, systems integrators, distributors, vendors and manufacturers, so that it was a really a composite of our HVAC industry. It's still a competitiveness, that you expect from any kind of competition. Everybody, wants to win more categories and take home more of those rising star trophies. But the reality is that everybody there was a winner. Every category that was nominated and made to finals really and truly, was represented by their community. So some people have the media strings and the ability to energize their communities better than others. And I think we brought that awareness to people too. So I think it was the most successful. It was the fifth show, and it was probably, statistically, we covered all bases. We still have some table seating issues. There was a couple of pillars there that we wish we could have made disappear. But, so the idea was to get there early. People that did, were totally satisfied. People that got there late and didn't get their tables where they were set, we apologize. But, we can't control the final seating arrangements. They're almost like that Southwest. We had to fill every seat. I believe every table was taken and filled. And, we apologize for any inconvenience. But again, next year we'll do a better job. But there's always, that old age-old axiom and paradigm, is the early bird gets the worms. So please make sure when you have a chance, send your representatives to take your tables and make sure nobody poaches them.
Well, hang on a second, Kenny. Who wants worms, man? Come on. Cut that out. Who wants worms? Well, to your point, I tell you what, it was a bit of a tenuous show this year because, although we had sponsors, a lot of them came on late. And you and I have to make a financial commitment to book the space. So we were pins and needles for months where we weren't going to have enough people there. And we're going to have to go to the bank and borrow some money to pay for this thing. And then we went from there to an onslaught of people asking for tickets. So now we're getting hammered on the other side because we have overages. So I think we learned a lot from this show. And I think the Hard Rock seems to be the venue that people like. As a matter of fact, I think you've got some good news. We've already booked the Hard Rock for Sunday night before AHR in Chicago next year. So we'll have that as a setup. And please reach out to Kenny and myself and just sort of, if you have ideas or suggestions, we'd appreciate it. We probably won't go with the Southwest style seating again next year. We'll definitely change that. But I think the overall feel, I mean, people were having a great time, and that's part of it. I mean, you know, what's the point in having a gala event if people are not having a good time? And I tell you what, you know, from the stage, looking around, people were laughing, having a good time. I understand the food was off the chain. And Ken Smyers, I got to thank you for that, buddy, because you're the one who ordered the food. And unfortunately, you and I never get to eat because we're too busy working with the show, but got great feedback on the food. The magician was kind of 50-50. I think if the David Spade lookalike hadn't been there and we'd just gone with the girl, the female musician, probably would have been really good. I thought Bill Duckelberger from Blue Ridge Technology, his event before the show, I thought I got great feedback on that. I thought that was really, really good. And, you know, it's a labor of love, like I said, Kenny. I mean, it comes from the belief that Ken and I both have that we got great people in our industry and they're underappreciated. I'd say underpaid too, but then my employees would probably want to raise on Monday. So,
well, you know, the labor of love.
Look at Ken Brown go. Woo-hoo. Can you back that up? You see Ken Brown dancing there? Oh my goodness.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's Ken Brown. Kenny's trying to back that up. Ken Brown from Cochran Supplies was one of our MCs, along with the venerable Mark Petock. Mark from Link Spring always does a fantastic job. So again, special thanks to those two. There's Kim. There's Ken Brown going. Move your shoulder, Kenny. There you go. All right. So Ken Brown just did an awesome job, as did Rob Allen, Mike Bonner, Stacy, and Brian McCammon from our team. Put a lot of labor into this, and so we appreciate them. Yeah, I tell you what, I could just see that video over and over and over again. Kim is the bomb, and she is a great MC.
She sure is. And again, she's an active member of the HVAC too. The interesting thing is this is not the day job. She's not a professional MC. She's a business leader for the Cochran Supply distributorship. She used to be in charge of marketing. I believe now Kim's in charge of operations, or she got a promotion. So, you know, you're looking at people that are having fun within the industry. You know, we try to keep homegrown, everybody that plays, we try to make sure we get the members of the community, HVAC community. So we've asked people like Roger Rebenak. You talk about Mike Marston and Roger Rebenak ad-libbing and putting together something that was just, you know, off the wall and entertaining. It's amazing how talented we've got people. Roger, I understand, is an entertainer, he likes to do his hobby or whatever. We know that John Petsy plays the drums, and we know that the Project Haystack 2017 coming up, they've got another band appearance from their famous, the band that they have. So there's a lot of really neat people in our industry that have different dimensions. You know, the day job, you know, they're programmers, analysts, sales engineers, whatever, but they also have very normal and happy environments besides the HVAC world. That's why getting the families involved, getting wives to these meetings, getting let your children know what you do as a sales engineer or whatever you do, makes them understand and appreciate your profession better, and might even incline them to join your footsteps or follow in your footsteps, so that we get more good people coming into our industry.
Exactly, Kenny. And speaking of Cochran Supply and Kimberly Brown, Cochran's got a big event, his Control Convent, coming up in June. So we'll get more details on that. We're going to talk to Scott. He's going to come on the show, tell us a little bit more about that. But I think that event will be absolutely spectacular. I think Cochran's going to allow our Control Trends community to maybe get a little bit of a special deal on that. So we'll talk to Scott about that. We'll bring that up. But buddy, we got the highlight video. We had the short highlight video is already up on the site. That's what Ken is referring to right there over his shoulder. But we have a full blown video we'll be posting on probably Tuesday or Wednesday that you can check out. So I think the video footage was very, very good. And Kenny, let's just should we walk through some of the winners?
What do you think? Yeah, I think the let me just get this thing. This is actually taken from the 8-minute video. So the
video. Oh, the longer video. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're still. And by the way, like you said, we made arrangements to do this in Chicago. It'll be the January Sunday before the HR show. So we're looking at the 21st. We have reached out to Hard Rock Cafe. In fact, Sarah Uri, the regional manager that we worked with in Las Vegas, is also Chicago's in her territory there. So we're already looking at a survey of the venue, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be much the same forum venue style. So it's a nightclubish type environment versus the sterile Hyatt.
Oh, I tell you what. Marriott. Yeah, the last time we were in Chicago, we did the Hyatt. We thought we were doing a good thing because it was you could just walk over the bridge to get there. But of all the shows we did, that was my least favorite venue. Sterile is a really generous word to use for that.
We couldn't start before 6:30, and they pushed us out at 9:30. They were literally rolling up the carpets and pushing us, taking the stages down, and because it was all being reset for their next customer, which we understand, but there was no flexibility there. So it was a real challenging environment for us to work well, to maintain the composure. They didn't have coat racks, and so when you work with people that do these professional, venues where you're bringing in hundreds of people and serving meals and everything's got to be down to precision, you want to work with somebody that really is good at it. And I'll tell you, Hard Rock Cafe demonstrated twice now that this is what they're all about. They get them in, get them out, raw hide, but everybody has a good time. They're very courteous.
Well, yeah, and the bar is open. I mean, they don't make anybody leave the bar early. So that it's a cool thing. And I think the thing is, Kenny, we learn from every one of these events, and we think we found a home with the Hard Rock. And part of the learning, and we'll be soliciting input, not Phil Zito style necessarily, but we'll be soliciting input about, what categories we should have next year. Do we keep the models? Do we lose the models? I mean, stuff like that. So your input's very, very important to us. This is, over the next several months, Ken and I will be evaluating everything soup to nuts regarding the awards, and so that next year's awards are even better. But we had, Ken, I think one of the big, big shifts this year was it was global this year, meaning that we got so many votes from overseas, and we had so many participants from overseas that in certain categories we had to create a global category because they got more votes than the North American did, but they're not even in North America yet. So that sort of comes from our process of when we go through the nomination period, we have what you call an open category, an other category, I should say, where you can write in other companies or people or products. And we learned so much on a global scale from that. But we had some integrators from overseas and some products from overseas that hadn't even hit North America yet, but they energized their networks and they got the votes. So it was a cool thing. So you got that pulled up yet, Big Dog? You want to run through it?
I sure do. Just the heading, the intro was that, again, we're very excited about the way we can present the show and have the lights, camera, action in place and not have to bring anything and not have to set up in some places when you take it, you got to bring your stage gear with you or else hire that out and have somebody construct a background stage for you. So when you use the stuff, so the lights and everything and getting up and down the stage was a little bit tricky with the steps and everything. But so this was really a great environment. And then this year was marked differently because we did an event sponsorship with BACnet International. So we had, we had that synergy where we were putting awards up from the Control Trends, and in that same category or same line of thought, BACnet would complement it with their, give out one of their trophies. They gave out 5 total awards. But then we, and we had the guest speakers. And then, we transitioned into the people side of the show with the executives, with the technical support people, and then with the PID, and then we had the Hall of Fame and the PTOC Award. And so I think we should go over each one of them. We have a little post that we could look at, and we could put a visual behind it if you want. But
Worry about the visual because nobody can read it.
No, I mean the videos of the people that like Sarah Monteleone with PID. What an amazing story that was, and how exciting she was, and how excited Mark Petock was to give out the award. And again, this was the year of the woman, by the way. The Chinese, what is it, the year of the chicken?
Our favorite, the year of the rat.
Now this is I think this was the first show too that we got to see not only a global impact But the women in the industry impact, you know, they went away with the top trophies for the executive of the year. You also had that was co-winners, and then you also had the PID, and then we had the Woman of the Year award. So that was just a really exciting you know night for the females in the industry. So, but you know we had nuts and bolts. In other words, all the buildings, these very tall buildings that you drive by every day, that have just multiple floors and they're all controlled with VAVs, and you know. So we started out. The very first awards was the nuts and bolts. We had the VAV Control of the Year. That was a Distech and Honeywell Spider win. Both of those manufacturers make just tons and tons of VAV controllers, and the Honeywell Spider was very successful, and so was the Distech controller. Then we had the Building Plant Automation Equipment Control of the Year. We had EZIO FG32 Plus. The extraordinary measures they take to upgrade that computer, or I'm sorry, that controller. Which is basically a computer on steroids. It shows again, they set the standard as far as, you know, the dual processors, and then they even have a faster processor now. They keep adding all the engineering tools and developing greater analytics and greater graphics, and just, you know, it can be, you know, upgraded in the field. And they keep adding stuff to it. So now EZIO actually partnered with folks in Europe to provide a full nuts and bolts project. So EZIO is on the move, and it's really interesting to see how hard they work to energize their social media channels and their ecosystem, because they were really a global impact. I mean, everybody, all five continents, 52 countries voted, and I was shocked of how prolific the CZIO FG32 was.
They truly are global, Kenny. And who knew Mike Marston could keep up with Roger Rebenek? So you got to go to the highlight video, see Mike and Roger together. And speaking of videos, we will be doing a highlight video of each one of these awards. So over the next month or so, you know, you'll get to do a deeper dive, see people's reaction and so on and so forth. The next one was the Energy Savings Product of the Year, which is the Belimo Energy Valve, Kenny. And I got to tell you what, I am a big, big believer in this product. It put in perspective, we work with the government on this where they were trying to reduce their energy spend, you know, via federal mandate. They've done everything they could, from lighting to tightening the PID, you know, DDC loops and stuff like that. We put the energy valve in, they're able to pop another 20-30%. And all I can say, if you're not selling this energy valve, you're missing out. I'll give you another example. We had one this week where had an integrator that came into the place, and you know, working on a project, they're upgrading a retrofit for an owner. That's what the owner's number one objective was to the contractor. He goes, "We'll save in energy." I said, "Well, have you heard the energy valve?" He goes, "No." So anyway, long story short, we're popping 15 energy valves in on that project, just simply because this is just a rock solid, great product. So it was great to see Belimo win that. And then Peripheral Product of the Year, Ken, we had two great companies on that.
Well, you sure do. You got again, the taken for granted stuff in our industry. It's just not fair that these companies do such great work and have such great pieces and accessories things. So we have Functional Devices had an overdue award to them, and Contemporary Controls was well deserved too. Functional Devices, the Rib Relay is probably it's like soap and water, toilet paper. It's in every project. It's in every panel. And they make the really nuts and bolts reliable stuff. So you got the Rib Relays, you got the panel mounted relays, you got transformers, you've got all the stuff. And then they got some really neat stuff with wireless. And they also have, the Rescue Club. When you need one more lawn point on a network and you don't want to buy another controller, you can just buy a lawn relay from Functional or BackNet. Well, Temporary Controls, they take the whole network industry and analyze it, especially the BackNet. They are the experts when it comes to routers, network issues. In fact, they share all that information willingly on their site with one of the best video series we've ever seen, which was the introduction to BackNet, and an eight total video exam that examined the layers and why BackNet is so important, how it got to be so prolific in the industry as an open protocol, and the ASHRAE support, the engineer support. So it's very well done by Contemporary Controls, George Thomas and his group, and the gentleman from
like those guys a lot, Kenny. That both of them, Jim Huey Hewitson from Functional Devices, were there, was at the event with his wife, as you said, bringing people. Lovely to meet them, and then of course George Thomas and his team do a great job. And then the Wireless Product Solution of the Year, EZIO, the FW series, Kenny. And this is like a, I think this could be a game changer. What's your take on this particular product?
Well, again, if you noticed that the FW series was you had Johann Schachelrod from Europe, and what's happening is that we know that wireless controllers and wireless sensors, everything's that can go wireless will be going wireless because of the ease in installation. And once they make those wireless networks more robust, it's going to be just growing in you know application popularity, and we're seeing it more in specifications. Well, EZIO again, they when they see these market opportunities, they dive into it head first. They take the resources they have and they make sure they can come up with something that really and truly brings something new to the table. So the FW series, they have the FW14, and you know, you talk about being able to put a quick application and network it immediately into your existing system. The EZIO FW series really brought it to the table, and again, that's another interesting thing. I'm just saying how, like you say about markets and whatever, we're in the North American market. The FW14 is just being introduced into North America, while it's already been in use for 2 years over in Europe.
Nice. So, Kenny, you've been in fights before, right? Fist fights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Would you rather fight a guy who's bigger than you but slower than you, or somebody that's smaller than you but quick and nimble?
Now I throw out the peace flag. No more fighting. But if back in the old days, that's a very interesting question. I think I would rather not fight the faster, smaller guy.
Well, you know, my point is, and agreed. And I think that EZIO, I mean, when you talk about what they're doing, EZIO is they're small, they're nimble, they're quick. Like you said, they see an opportunity, they're able to turn it around and produce a solution. Where I think, you know, we got these giants. I think this is a trend we're seeing. I think you got these giants that are big and strong and powerful, but they can't move quite as quick. So I remember there was this little guy that I used to work with at Honeywell named John Devant. I mean, he must have been 5'6". Dude, he could kick anybody's tail because he was just quick as a cat, you know. So I think there's a need for speed in our industry, and that's a trend Kenny and I've been talking about. So congratulations to EZIO, and brings us up to Lighting Integration Provider Solution of the Year. Our good friend Bill Duckelberger from Blue Ridge Technologies, and we talk about Bill a lot. But congratulations to Bill and his team on the Blue Ridge Technologies.
Indeed. You know, it was a BACnet night too. BACnet International, you know, Andy McMillan and team from BACnet, Kathleen, what was the other woman's name from BACnet? I'll find it in a second, but they have, Natalie, very good. Yeah, because, BACnet, everything's taken for granted sometimes where you don't understand, you know, just where the history, the histrionics of the protocol, we've had an opportunity now to really and truly delve into it, dig. We got the European, Hans Kranz was the father of BACnet in Europe. We had Michael Welsh, and then Mr. Busby was he was inducted both to the Hall of Fame for the Control Trends and BACnet International. But these were the people that were the pioneers, the frontier leaders of BACnet technology. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is Blue Ridge Technology, Bill Duckelberger goes back all the way in deep with this BACnet. You know, he was with ALC back when they were BACnet, kind of before a lot of other folks were, and he understood the lighting solutions, unified lighting solution from a BACnet, from an integration standpoint, and the criticality of making it accessible to systems integrators versus coming through the electrical side, because the electrical side is going to dictate that's not going to go into the integration, that's not going to be friendly, it's going to be proprietary, so they can control that, you know, that lighting panel for the rest of the, you know, the future of the building. Where Blue Ridge has a concept where you put their controls in and it's immediately integrated into your systems, your network. So and that's why it's so popular. And that's why it's one of the fastest growing, companies that we see in that trend that we follow.
Agreed, Kenny. I think you might have misspoke. You said Mike Welch, and I think you were talking about Newman. Mike Newman. Right. Mike Salvador Dali Welch. Right. Is not necessarily a BACnet guy. He's a Dali guy. So hi, Mike, if you're listening, we know you. We got to get you back on the show. I hadn't heard from Mike in a while. He's one of the greats in our industry too. So Kenny, the next one is third party visualization software of the year. And dude, I got to tell you, saw something really interesting yesterday. We go to the bank, and, you know, to the automated teller, and all of a sudden this like Skype type thing pops up, and there's your teller, right? And so where the hell are you? Well, he's in Jacksonville, Florida, right? So, you know, I think we're seeing the advent of, you might have a server farm or a people farm, if you will, with tellers that are in one location. And you're having that sort of a high touch that you're able to relate to somebody, but at the same time, they don't have to be location specific. So the days of your branch bank might be numbered. I know a lot of, you know, in Atlanta anyway, we're seeing a trend, there are less branch banks, but now I can see these things where you got the computer screen, you walk up, they got the automated teller, but now you can talk to somebody, make your deposits, do everything you need without having to be, you know, have a location. So,
well, see, that's good and bad, Eric. I mean, you know, you hit on something there, but and ironically, just built two. There's two banks being built right now on the most prime possession, going up and down McKnight Road, which is a big service road here in Pittsburgh, North Hills of Pittsburgh. I can't believe that they're building new bank buildings because of what you said. But don't forget that if you see a camera and you're being Skyped, it's seeing you, and there's a reason for all that. The contextualization is probably just not just getting a video on you, so it has a continuous video record of who did what and where, you know, for obvious auditing reasons. But also, it's probably picking up your phone. It's probably picking up, what you listen to on the radio. So in other words, these video points aren't just being friendly interfaces. These video points are points of sale that they're doing all kinds of contextualizing readings. You know, they're pulling information out of your car when you drive up to it that you probably don't realize. Like, what it probably syncs with your phone for that temporary period, you know? It's crazy what's going on with the IoT. And so every time I see that, I wonder why somebody would invest in that. You know, the retail industry tried that, and same with fast foods. McDonald's or one of them, I think it was McDonald's or Burger King, experimented with that video Skype where the people were in Oklahoma. So you'd be in Pittsburgh driving through a drive-through, and you'd see the person on the video screen taking your order. And I asked them where you were, and I don't think they wanted to answer me, but finally I found out they were in Oklahoma. So they it went away. Whatever the thought perceived benefit at that time was, one time I came back up and they had removed the video interface with the drive through window. You know.
Well, dude, you know, we've already talked about they've got the robots that like the sex bots and stuff like that. So I think, you know, that they'll be replaced by that, where but you won't tell, you can't tell whether they're real people or not. Watch Westworld if you want to know what we're talking about, because that reality is here. But to your point, taking that data, our next two categories, our next two winners, the third-party visualization software of the year, which was co-won by DigiLogic and BAS Service Graphics, our friend for Alper, and the building analytics solution of the year, which is the Niagara Analytics. I mean, those folks can probably tell us exactly what's going on with that, Kenny.
Yeah, well, DigiLogic, of course, joined the Acuity team and has been just off and running. DigiLogic's taken that whole data world and going in a different direction. They've taken the what used to be just, you know, graphics and visualizations. And if you remember the DigiLogic from 3-4 years ago, everything was about the visualization of information. Red is bad, you know, blue and green are good. Where your energy was being spent and the dollars, they can make graphics and they can make the whole world come to life visually. And that was very, very, they did extremely well. Then they got involved with some of the big boys, Cisco, and they were doing some things there. And then Acuity saw what they were able to do as a corporation with the resources, the technical people they had. And now they're out there doing stuff in the oil and gas industry, the medical industry, the financial worlds, because they not only know how to do graphics and analyze the graphics, but they know how to move data and make data more important and then filter data to make it business decisions, you know, so with the dwelling and stuff like that. So I hear some very exciting things coming from DigiLogic. Well, BAS Service and Graphics, you know, like you say, Alper, he's more of, one-to-one. So he sells services, he sells contracts, he provides products, edge devices, but he's just a hardworking guy that, you know, has just, you know, slowly but surely gained more market share and got recognized. So he sells, I know he's in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. I see BAS. We'll go out on projects and it'll tell us that the graphics were provided by BASSG, which is his graphics solution that they sell. So well done to both companies. You had the big, you know, global guy, DigiLogic, and then you had a North American partner there, BAS Service Graphics, that did real well and came away with the trophies.
Very cool. And then Niagara Analytics for the building analytics solution of the year. We've talked a lot about Niagara and Enforce, you know, just keeps doing well. And then we get to the light commercial solution of the year. Again, we had KMC Commander, which was our North American winner, and then a company called Proton Optergy, which is just hitting the North American market, but has been global for a while. And so we had co-winners there, Kenny.
Sure did. Well, KMC, we were at their booth after AHR, and this KMC Commander is very, very, very impressive. KMC is partnered with Dell and Intel, and they really are taking things to the next level. Their controllers, being that near-field communication protocol where you can do the work on your iPhone and then walk over to a controller, not even powered up, and program it. They're really moving fast, like you were saying about the big guy and the slow, or being the powerful but slow to move or fast. I think KMC is right there in the middle. They have the advantages of being a big, well-established manufacturer, global in nature, but they also have an internal dynamic to get things done quickly and to partner when they can't do it themselves. Rather than try to do everything themselves, they partner with the right people that can help bring that technology and integrate it into what they want to do faster. And so they've got just a really good portfolio of products. And then Proton Optergy, Steve Guzalemian and those guys, they were huge in Australia. We'll find out more about them. They now have a beachhead in Washington, in the state of Washington, and they're offering products now that have, for small, the 80% of the buildings we don't have any solutions for, just, the right, economy of scale, So we try to sell something that, is already made for us and we're good at. And sometimes the people that we're trying to sell it to just can't afford it, or just technically it's overwhelming to them. So they shy away from it. These products like Optergy are offering, with the Proton product in particular, is small scale. So we can go right into that small space, that race to the small space we always talk about. They've got a product portfolio that it doesn't have any, there's no rejection to it, because it doesn't fight you on the cost. It doesn't fight you on the technical prowess. It's just simply very friendly, and it's going to be very successful.
Well, speaking about lean and mean, we get back to the innovator product of the year. No surprise, EZIO with their FW14 was the winner there. And I think if you haven't seen that product, we got some videos on Control Trends regarding that. Like Kenny said, it's been around the globe. It's coming to North America now. So you'll hear a lot more about that product during the year. And Kenny and I'll endeavor to get Mike Marston on the show. I think he's coming to see you in Pittsburgh, so maybe we can get him on camera talking a bit more about that product. And then the Building Automation Control System of the Year, the Johnson Controls FX. So we kind of got a contrast between, one of those, nimble folks, and then the System of the Year is the Johnson Controls FX. And Kenny, I got to think, one of the reasons, Johnson's just doing so much right, but that FX is a rock solid product line. Does great stuff. You put Johnson in, you don't have any worries. So I think if you're an integrator, an owner, the risk sort of goes out the window. So, they're a nice blend of reliability and know-how as well as innovation.
Well, they sure are. And the thing that, again, with Johnson, when we talked about retooling and coming back into this market that we have with old technology or aging technology, and the, it's used to be you build a product for 14, 15 years and you were very happy with your ability to, stay in a quality mode. But then we saw transitions where the technologies were requiring changes every 2-3 years because Microsoft Windows was changing. HTML5 came on board. So if you were moving quickly to intersect with these technologies at the right time, you could have a lot of your legacy systems became orphaned, to Windows XP and Windows 98 and all these other good things. Well, Johnson went way out ahead, and now it's like when you see the defensive backs chasing the receivers and backs along the sideline, you have to have an angle of pursuit that's going to catch them. If you try to run behind them, you never catch them, so you got to get an angle. I think Johnson did a very, very good job of timing the release of new products and then enhancing existing products at the right time, because then they came on board with equipment and whatever. So I think Johnson really made a lot of really good strategic moves as a business and as a company globally.
Yeah, absolutely, Kenny. And they've got a product that they're releasing this year called Verisys, which is going to be their entry into the race to the small space. Oddly enough, Verisys got a lot of votes. It just hadn't hit the streets yet. But I think you're going to see Johnson playing in that smaller market too. So Jenny Stentz, Chris Eichmann, and that team really seems to, be right in the middle of what's going on and sort of knocking it out. So,
well, one more thing. One more thing about Johnson and the battery thing. One of the great best interviews you had this year, I think, was with Jenny Stentz talking about what's coming in the future with the battery. So that's another thing about the Johnson attitude, is that they're bringing all their, they're unifying their business units together. They have equipment, chillers, you know, and this battery storage is going to be something, I think that's going to be one of the trends that we're going to see this year, 2017, is more information about the battery storage industry.
Well, I'm going to call it a different way, Kenny. I think you're right. I think the battery is going to be part of it, but and I think it will be a trim on track. The other trend I think we're going to see is the need to bundle and unbundle, meaning you're able to bundle your products. I think Acuity, with their purchase of Distech and DG Logix, is going to create some unique bundles that are going to be very seductive to the marketplace. I think Johnson's doing that with their equipment as well as their controllers. So I think we're going to see more bundling. So I think you're either going to have to be able to bundle up to provide like a complete solution, or you're going to have to be able to partner with people like EZIO and Blue Ridge Technologies to do that. But so it's good stuff there. And then of course, at the heart of every energy saving strategy is the good old VFD, variable frequency drive, and our friends at Siemens with their BT 300 won again this year. So congratulations to the folks at Siemens. And you know, the great thing about that is you don't need much tech support on a VFD, but you do need tech support in other areas. And our best tech support person, large manufacturer, Kenny, two people that we know, and I think you can speak to. One is Michael Hines from Honeywell, just a lifesaver, as well as Dave Rodella from Siemens. And what can you tell us about these two folks, Kenny?
Well, I know that the importance of technical support. We've had just a rash of legacy systems that have done 20 years of great service, faithful service, and are dying on the network, and we've got another existing network using the Niagara network, and so we're trying to keep the legacy systems running as long as we can, and at the right time transition. But and then you have drivers to do that. But the people that know how to do that are so critical, because they have to have that breadth of experience. It takes them back 10, 12 years when you had different, where Echelon was big, and then you had different controllers. So Michael Hines is a guy from Honeywell that really and truly wraps around all those legacy systems and can make them work. He's very hip on all the latest and greatest Niagara stuff, Niagara 4, but he's also a veteran at all those other legacy systems and knows how to fix things at a very high level. And David Riddell is the same way with Siemens. Siemens talent now is really it's marching the drums, and it's coming to a city near you. If you have talent already, then you know what it's all about. If you don't, you'll probably be introduced to it, because the software side of Siemens is alive and awake, and they're coming after the commercial components. And again, when you try to engage new technology, you need somebody who can train your people and train your technicians and make their lives as easy as possible. And to do that, you need somebody that really, truly loves what they do, does it well, does it often, is accessible. And I think what happened was the Control Trends community has really recognized two deserving folks this time. It was a great win for both Michael Hines from Honeywell and Dave Rodella from Siemens.
Exactly. And then if you look at our small manufacturer, no surprise here with all the awards that EZIO has gotten. They obviously have great tech support. SK Fu from EZIO won the best tech support small manufacturer. And then we get to best tech support company. Large manufacturer goes to Johnson Controls, and best tech support company, small manufacturer, goes to Contemporary Controls. Sort of no surprises there, Kenny. Both those companies do a fantastic job, and SK Fu is just one of the all-time best, I think.
Yeah, well, again, you talk about a guy that knows how to do different things and knows all the incredible technologies, not just with IT and not just with, graphics. And each one of those is a subset of extraordinary expertise. And to be able to walk and talk all those platforms and integrate, just like some of the great minds we've had with James Johnson from Tritium. The guy is amazing how he amassed such an accumulated store of knowledge. Well, SK Fu does that on a global basis. I mean, the protocols that they work with, the solutions they solve, the technical difficulties, the challenges they take on and make easy, are just, it's just an extraordinary guy, very smart guy. And then, like you say, to put together, like the large manufacturers, just think of the scale, just think of North America, from Mexico to Canada, you know, and all the in-between controllers that are out there. And again, the legacy issues that you have, it's just so challenging to make sure that you've got a unified, integrated, seamlessly deployed, you know, equipment, you know, I'm not equipment, but controls. And you know, so there's always just so many technical challenges. So having that big support staff is huge. So, but that's where you see a great, you know, you have the big and the small, you know. So Johnson probably has 20, 30 people deep in their support, and EZIO probably has maybe 10, but SK Foo is the leader of the...
Right, and whether you're big or small, going global or whatever, I mean, great tech support is still great tech support, and there's an art to that. And I think, you know, it all starts with great people. And our next award, the PID Award, professionalism or passion, integrity, dedication. Two great winners this year, Gary Weber from Belimo and Luis Melgueras from Neptronic. Both these guys just sort of exude that. Gary's been around the industry for a long time. Classy, classy, classy guy, Kenny. I mean, if you've ever dealt with Gary, I mean, he takes care of business, but he's got a personable side to him. And Luis Melgueras, I tell you, you know, another great guy. Started, I think, sweeping the warehouse at Distech or whatever, worked his way up. Now it travels the world for Neptronix. So congratulations to both of those folks, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I've known Gary probably for 30 years. And it reminds me of an ambassador, you know, somebody that you see like a statesman, because again, a lot of positions you have, you know, you're handling fires every day. There's somebody unhappy, somebody doesn't like somebody, stepped on somebody's toes, and you have all these challenges where not many people have the bandwidth and the ability to think quick and then deal with stuff effectively to keep, you know, the greatest good for the greatest number happy. And so I think Gary does an extraordinary job doing that. And then putting all those new products into the market and making sure, you know, everybody's hitting numbers and the engine's staying, it doesn't overheat or anything. So, yep, great job, Gary Weber. And Luis Melgueras, again, too, that's another, Neptronic is a, you know, very interesting company with a great history of innovation. You know, they were the first to do the actuated ball valve. They were the first to do the capacitance, you know, for the spring return on valves and actuators. And Luis, like you said, he's also a certified, he's an electrician by trade. He's an accomplished electrician. So when he talks about, you know, what your problems are with troubleshooting or whatever, he really understands the products that Neptronic manufactures, and he understands how things get done. You know, it's not magic. You have power. And so when it comes to like troubleshooting and support, he does just a fabulous job. So very well deserved too. Plus he's got, you know, a lot of these guys are very steep in their experience in the industry and come from, you know, they've been around the different parts of the industry, so that they bring a very comprehensive, cosmopolitan style, you know, leadership to their companies.
Well, they do. And if you ever get a chance to go to Montreal to visit Neptronix and be entertained by those folks, they're great hosts. So love those guys. And then we get to our executives. We're only as good as our leaders. And Kenny, we had the small manufacturer Terry Swope from Link Spring, as well as Troy Swin from ACI. And then on the executive of your large manufacturer, Jenny Stentz from Johnson Controls and Martin Villeneuve from Distech. And goodness gracious, you take those four folks right there, and I think you could solve all the world's problems. What do you think?
Well, you say, I think what you're seeing politically happen around the world, and of course, certainly in America, is that executive style of leadership that's even desired and made its way into our political world, is that politicians sometimes don't get things done. They have great ideas, great aspirations, and typically they have great supports, you know, great staffs, great cabinets. Well, that's the same with these people here. In order to make a company work, whether it's a small manufacturer, less than 50 million or more than 50 million, you need executive competencies that require extraordinary leadership and experience and vested interest. You know, both those guys, Terry Swope owns Linkspring, Troy Schwen's an owner of ACI, and you know, this is their baby. They have dedicated their lives to the success of those companies, and you can tell by the style of the company. And ACI wins one award after another for its, you know, participation in the community. It's been recognized as a small business. I think it's won 3 or 4 awards there. They've won your best technical support. So ACI is just a good, strong company with good fundamentals and foundation. And Linkspring is the same way, but they're innovating on a leap and bound type of thing. What Linkspring's done with the ported Niagara and Edge devices, I'll tell you what, they've got a big future ahead of them. And congratulations to both of those guys.
Absolutely.
And on the other hand, you know, just magnify the intensity of that business leadership and then on a global scale, or certainly North American, South American scale, where I don't even know how Johnson can, you know, when you, like, you're Jenny Stenson, you wake up in the morning, or you're Martin Villeneuve from Distech Controls, and you've got 60 emails, 20 phone calls, and whatever. How do you deal with it? How do you partition your time so well and budget your time so that you get things done and have the triage so that, you know, take care of the most important things first? So it requires a lot of skills that people just really don't get it unless you work with these people or work with them occasionally to see how they get things done and get it done well, because they're both leading manufacturers.
Well, they are. And then, of course, then we get to our Control Trends Vendor of the Year Large, which was Distech Controls. And our Control Trends Vendor of the Year Small, which is Contemporary Controls. And I tell you what, Kenny, we're kind of running a little over here. So I think, needless to say, we've talked a lot about what makes those companies great, because both of them have won awards in other categories. And then we get to our Control Trends Systems Integrator of the Year North America, CB Richard Ellis, ESI, out of Brookfield, Wisconsin, and Pacific Controls out of Asia. And if you guys know anybody at Pacific Controls, please let us know that they won. That was kind of a global surprise. We'd like to make sure they get their trophy. And I think we got two great candidates there. You know, Ted Haupt and the boys from Hepta Systems in the panel shop actually presented that award. Like some of the other awards we have, is sort of once you're in the club, that's it. So we got two more into the club that joined Hepta Systems and AI. And then we get to the category we talked about earlier, Ken, the Control Trends Woman of the Year. Renee Joseph from Johnson Controls and Jenny Graves from Tritium. So two very, very dynamic women that are making a huge, huge difference. And then we get to our Control Trends Most Impactful Video of the Year, which was the Schneider Electric MG350 Smart Actuator, which was just an awesome video. And that was actually an idea that our friend Gina Elliott from Schneider gave us, that we should start. You know, we're a video site, and video seems to be the way that most of these companies are communicating now, and we wanted to recognize that. So that was some good stuff, Ken. And then what I'd like to do is I'd like to get your comments on our Hall of Fame winners.
Well, I blew that one with Michael Newman. I feel really bad about that. The Hall of Fame to us is truly, when we researched the Control Trends Hall of Fame, and we didn't take it lightly, we realized we were one of the few industries that did not have a bona fide Hall of Fame. And we were determined to make sure that the Hall of Fame grew in importance. So we picked the help that we got from people. We still owe a debt of gratitude to DG Logic, because we have a Hall of Fame museum. It's a digital museum. And one day we'll see these people that were inducted this year. Ken St. Clair, very deserving. Stephen Bushby, very deserving. And Jack McGowan were very deserving recipients of the Hall of Fame. In fact, what we looked at there, that little cluster of professional people, Jack McGowan, Steve Bushby, and Ken St. Clair, you're looking at probably 150 years of extraordinary industry commitment, where, you know, some of the things that we take for granted, the roads that were paved, our understanding of how to do business, our understanding of the need to control energy, a lot of that is given directly to Jack McGowan. He was one of the first guys. He worked he worked for one of the manufacturers, got out, did his own thing, was asked by the government to help get, you know, steer us to the right direction. What are the choices we should be making it's not just self-regulated industry. This was a government, effort to get energy under control. And Jack McGowan was a guy who was feeding the critical data into these people and information to see it happen, to connect the two industries connect the industries in general with the users that were using all the power in this country. And just, he gets a lot of credit for it. He's the author of four books. Ken St. Clair's site, automatedbuildings.com, is, you know, one of the best, most rewarding. If you spend time on that site, you can't help but learn. If you look for anything to do with building management, building automation, energy conservation, name a subject, green leads, he'll have one or two or 10 of the best articles from the people that are experts in that particular subject. And then, of course, we got to talk about this guy, Stephen Bushby, who we had Michael Newman from Cornell. He was the father of American BACnet. We had Hans Kranz, who was the father of Europeans BACnet, the response through Germany. And then Stephen Bushby, he was the government. Now, Stephen Bushby, I didn't realize how critical his role was. He had the government needed to have an interface with industry, and they needed to understand. They needed an expert that they could rely on to help foment the progress of a protocol that would be open, that would be something that the government could rely on to use for itself for building control. You know, and Steve Buscemi, when I heard the stories about him, these guys were pioneers back when nobody knew what to take the next steps. These were the guys that were pushers, mover shakers that got the whole industry's attention through the engineering community, through ASHRAE, to come up with a protocol that, you know, we take for granted. I mean, but it's like English. It's like counting numbers. You know how we got, you know, we were using Roman numerals for a long time, and all of a sudden we discovered the Arabic, 1, 2, 3, and it made life easier, faster, and unified everybody's efforts. The same thing happened kind of in protocols, and these guys were some of the just best minds in the business. Congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, fantastic. We're really happy with our class of Hall of Fame class again this year. And then, Ken, I want to sort of lump, because we're kind of up against it, Thomas. I want to sort of lump our categories together, the post we had this week. You posted, we already talked about the Woman of the Year, and we also had Sarah Montaloni run the PTOC Award. There's a post on Control Trends regarding that. I encourage you to check that out. And then, Ken, you did a really nice write-up on the Young Gun recipients where you can read those bios. So good stuff there. And then Ken Sinclair's, speaking of Ken Sinclair's, February issue is out. The theme is productivity and satisfaction deployment. Any comments on that?
Well, again, he's the seer. He's the Notre Dame of our industry. What this is all about is that, you know, the metrics to get the 3,300, boy, we see a lot of action on that. That's going to be a trend that we're going to be tracking too, is the definition of 300. We've heard the terms 110 and 100. We've heard the terms 330 and 400. So everybody's taking a whack at that. But basically, this is how you get metrics to determine if people, if you do things like lighting, like Therese Sullivan has a great article coming out in the March edition of Automated Buildings. I've had a chance to look at it. And it's really, really good high-level thinking. And she refers to another manufacturer. Yes, they can say unequivocally that if you have good heating and air conditioning and lighting, and you really and truly make that a priority, people can recover faster. Students can score better. And they're putting those metrics together so that you can actually measure productivity and satisfaction deployment. So, again, Ken's saying this is going to happen. It's going to take the IoT route. It's going to take the path of least resistance and the smallest footprint possible. But yeah, it's going to be something that's going to impact your business. So the sooner you get on board with it and understand it and add it to your efforts to sell and market your solutions, the better, because it's going to be applied to all, from the smallest building to the largest building. You're going to see California is going to start to implement more and more the Title 24, where they're going to make you, if you have a new building, you are going to use VFDs and you are going to use lighting controls and you are going to do it, or you can't build the building. So it's going to go from California across America, but we'll see it.
Completely agreed. And automatedbuildings.com, the February issue, be sure to check that out. And sort of speaking of the 330, $300 rule, another post we had up this week, Ken, was talking about productivity sound masking. So our friends at Sierra Monitor have partnered with a company called Lincore, and they basically are able to mask sounds. They've been using it in hospitals for a while as a way to use pink and white noise to sort of mask the sounds. But now there's the direct correlation, Kenny, between that and productivity. So again, we've talked about lights, we've talked about HVAC, and now we're talking about sound. So I think I agree with you.
Well, who would have thought that sound masking can reduce noise distraction by 35 to 40%, and that this will actually induce a sounder mind for healing too. I mean, I wondered, I think I've been annoyed all my life by, you know, being by a window where the traffic would come by and cars, you know, horns and whatever. And imagine how if you can tune this out now and make people more productive, and you didn't really cost a thing. It's just an awareness. So that's cool as can be. And then we wrap it all up, Eric, with two, gee whiz type things, but not really. We got some scheduled events coming up. You have Linkspring, 30 minutes with Linkspring. And then you also have Project Haystack and registration and call for speakers. A lot of good stuff there. So again, the opportunities for all our Control Trends communities to get back involved, start in the 2017, start marking your calendar. There will be a Linkspring next, go to the post and see it. And then early registration for the Haystack Connect 2017 ends on February 28th.
Well, there you go, Kenny Smyers. That's episode 214 of Control Talk Now, your smart buildings videocast and podcast. Thank you guys for checking us out. Hey, if you like us, tell a friend. If you don't like us, well, just don't tell anybody, please. But with that, I will leave you with our standard sign off. Remember, be bold and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. Well, there you go, buddy. That's the first one after the control turned to work. So, all right, bud. Good stuff there. Let me turn to work.